This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect with your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. And we're continuing our series called The Cross is Enough. And truly, the cross is enough. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that you and your descendants may live. Life or death, you choose. To reject Christ and the cross is to reject life, love, and liberty. And again, you may ask the question, surely there may be some other way. There isn't. The cross is your only hope. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. At the cross, all of our debts were paid. And therefore, to reject Christ and the cross, hell would be our portion. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 18 in the Amplified, for the message of the cross is foolishness, absurd and illogical to those who are perishing and spiritually dead because they reject it. But to us who are being saved by God's grace, it is the manifestation of the power of God. Turn while there is time. 1 John 5, 11 and 12, and this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life, whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And the New Living. And anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. And the ESV. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. You may be a good person, but you're not good enough. If you die trusting in your religion or your good works or your virtue, you will go to hell for all of eternity and suffer God's wrath. But that's not very loving, Pastor. It's not a question of love, but of divine justice. You cannot truly appreciate God's love unless you first understand God's wrath and justice. As a pastor, I'll always do my best to help people, but there are times when I cannot speak up on behalf of somebody, certainly when somebody has hurt or abused children. I recognize the law is there for a reason, and people need to face justice and deal with the consequences of their actions. It doesn't mean they can't repent and be saved, but it doesn't exempt them from facing justice. And surely that seems a logical and fair position. Well, are we somehow better than God? Is he to simply overlook or ignore evil? No. He will balance the books in eternity and mete out terrible judgment and punishment on all evildoers, and they will taste divine justice, suffering his wrath for all of eternity. And this is why we must run to the cross while there is still time. And so we must drop the pretense, because again, we're not good people as we would like to say, I'm a good person. None of us are. For Romans 3:23 says, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. And the good news says, God's anger is revealed from heaven against all the sin and evil of the people whose evil ways prevent the truth from being known. We have greatly offended God by our sin, our rebellion, our rejection of his laws and his lordship. How dare we as the creature say to the Creator, if you are real, prove it. God doesn't have to prove himself to anyone. He is the great I am, the one enthroned in the heavens. Psalm 2 and verse 8 in the NIV, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Isaiah 57 and 15, thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Who are we to question the existence of God simply because things haven't gone our way? Who are we to say the God I serve doesn't judge? Where do we ever get that idea? How dare we try to remake God in our own image and reshape his laws to suit ourselves? Judges 18:25 says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Make no mistake, he is the judge of all of the earth, and he will do, and he will define what is right. Again, our opinion is irrelevant, and so whether it's the Dáil, the Supreme Court, the EU, or the White House, they don't have the last word. God does. as it says in Romans 1 and verse 18, to suppress the truth or seek to prevent the truth from being known. But the truth has not changed. The only God is Jesus Christ. 1 John 5 and verse 20, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. In the very first sermon preached after the resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, Peter exhorted the people in Acts chapter 2, 42. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. On one level, you might say that wasn't very nice, but it was the truth. And yet, how much more perverse is our generation today? For it seems in some ways that we're trying to literally outdo every generation that has preceded us. For we seem to be tolerant of literally everything except the truth. Romans 16:19. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. And yet, at a time where we have a information overload through social media, internet, streaming, AI, with unprecedented access to information, our generation is becoming increasingly tone deaf to the voice of God. We are dismissive of God's moral law and ignorant of his word and his ways. We need only look at the violence, the perversion, the greed, the godlessness, and the idolatry that characterizes our times. So again, I believe as a generation, we need to come back to a place of repentance and stand for the truth of the gospel. If God's wrath is directed towards the sinner, how much more is it to be reserved for those who have refused to warn the wicked? Ezekiel 3 and verse 16 to 19, and it shall come to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I've made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Do you have the temerity to say that the gospel doesn't address these things? Do you think there are consequences to how we live? Or can we do what we want? Because the Bible is plain and clear about the destructive nature of sin. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? We have a duty of care to warn our generation. I think it's important for us to pray for our generation, but also for us to be faithful to the truth, particularly as our generation becomes increasingly disconnected from that truth. And again, I think it's important for us to understand this, and maybe some of this might have been a bit strong for people to hear, but I think it's important to understand God still has an opinion about how we live our lives and will judge us accordingly when we die. And so the only hope for sinful man is to repent and believe the gospel. And this is the issue. I think at times we've been too quick to tell the good news before we first acknowledge the bad news. Righteousness only makes sense when you first understand wrath. Your place in heaven becomes so much more precious when you realize you already had a place in hell. You see, your life is on a rapid and inescapable collision course with eternity, and the cross is your only hope. Like a man who jumps out of a plane and the ground is approaching, if you don't pull the cord on your parachute, you will face the awful consequences of gravity. And in the same way, while God's wrath was satisfied at the cross, but for those who reject Christ on the cross, there awaits nothing but terror, torment, and damnation. For God's wrath will be poured out in full measure upon those who reject God's grace. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust and are made manifest to your consciences. Knowing the terror are the phobos of the Lord. What a terrible thing it is to live in sin, and even worse, to die in sin. There is no hope for those who reject the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And this is why, again, we must cling to the cross and we must stay faithful and walk in the light of the cross in Jesus' name. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow as we continue our series on The Cross is Enough right here on UCB Ireland. God bless you.